Come on, man! Brady Parker knocked until his knuckles throbbed. He jabbed the doorbell with the thumb of his other hand. Ashton, no one's heard from you in days. Bang, bang, bang. Don't make me knock down this door, man. I hate violence.
He stopped knocking. Waited. Nothing. Brady took a step back, raised his foot to kick in the door. He sighed, thought better of it, and dug into his pocket for his wallet. He found a credit card buried behind all the others, an Amex he hadn't used in years. I can't believe I'm about to break in here like a petty crook. He slid the card into the door jamb, fiddled with it. His hand slipped, knocking his throbbing fingers against the edge of the frame. One knuckle split open, and he yelped. The credit card dropped between his feet. He picked it up, went to try again. This time, the door unlatched. The stink wafted from the cracked door. Seemed to suffocate him. His hand went to his mouth and nose. He gulped, tried to control his gorge. Bile singed the back of his throat.
What the hell?
He coughed. Kept his hand over his face. He pushed the door all the way open. The scene inside brought the sickness bubbling back up. Greasy barbacoa and sour margarita mix sprayed his shoes. The puke soaked through, drenched his socks in its warmth. He belched, almost threw up more. Blood decorated the walls of the front room of Ashton Smith's house. Splashes of it created macabre, abstract designs. The name Marielle was written over and over. The phrase Mother of Ghosts painted on the ceiling in dripping crimson letters. Other symbols and words in a language he couldn't read were painted in the same hand, the same ink. Slashed couch cushions bled cotton. Broken, overturned furniture lay across the gouged and soiled floor. A shattered mirror hung over the fireplace. He tried to find the words. He cursed himself for not just sending the police. Why the hell did I have to come over here myself? The last few weeks had been one disaster after another. He turned to leave, to go to one of the neighbors' houses and call the police. Nothing else he could do. Nothing else. A wet moan from somewhere in the house stopped Brady mid-stride. He tried to ignore the bloodied walls, checked for any kinds of activity.
Ashton?
A soft whimper responded. Brady put his hand over his mouth and nose again, and walked forward. The hot puke squished in his shoes. Rancid air filled his mouth. A dry heave jerked his body. He crossed the living room, every instinct telling him to turn around and run away. Every instinct, but that which propelled him forward. A primal need for knowledge. To slow down and look at the car accident. To try foods like scrapple. To pause horror movies during the grisliest death scenes. He trekked down the hallway. Behind one of the doors, someone coughed. He balled one hand into a fist, wanted to say something tough, but spasms jolted his knees, and he could only manage a croaked variation of Ashton's name. The person behind the door squealed. Brady pushed the door open and jumped back, braced himself against the wall. Between his shoulder blades, his shirt stuck to a bloody streak on the wall. He blubbered, tried to make words, tried to comprehend the sight in the bathroom. It was Ashton, but there was little of the man left. Slashes covered his arms, legs, and naked torso. The shattered remains of the mirror showed cuts on his back. A bloody shirt concealed his nether regions like a diaper. Brady tried to meet Ashton's eyes. Two red, empty sockets stared back at him, weeping crimson tears. Brady's whimpering synthesized into a singular, high-pitched scream that didn't stop until the police came and dragged him out of the house.